Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. And we're continuing again in the name of Jesus. Tonight we're just going to focus on, this is not a lesson on healing, but I'm just highlighting that there's healing in the name. So again, you could spend lessons and lessons and lessons teaching on healing. That's not what the focus of this is, but we're going to highlight a little bit there. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hallelujah. Now, we've spent some lessons. It would do you good to go back. I was reading a little account in Brother Hagin's book, and I guess I should do that, is just highlight the three books that are available in the Faith Food Bookstore. You have the E.W. Kenyon book. That's this here. It's called The Wonderful Name of Jesus. It would do you good to get this. If you don't have the money, just save some money and get it. I'm telling you, it's worth every dime. And then there's another book by Kenneth E. Hagin, The Name of Jesus. Kenneth W. Hagin, Jesus, Name Above All Names. And then Kenneth E. Hagin has a little mini book. It's a little 99-cent mini book, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Amen. So let's turn over just briefly. Let's look at these scriptures in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, since we're in the book of John, let's go over to chapter 14 and let's look at verses 12 through 14. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. Or I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So he uses the word ask twice, once in verse 13 and 14. And you can look that up. That particular word in the Greek means demand or require. And a Greek scholar that Brother Hagin references in some of his writings said that this Greek scholar shared that the Greek literally means whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. So we're not demanding of God, but we are demanding of our rights and privileges. And then you can look up for yourself in the Strong's Concordance. It's number 4441. It references in the Greek word, it says, it's translated, ask, to demand something due. So we can demand something due. What is that? It's our rights and privileges. So what is ours, we can demand. Amen? If Jesus said that I've redeemed you from the curse of the law and sickness comes upon you, you can demand that sickness leave in the name of Jesus. You're demanding something due. You're demanding of your rights and privileges that have been afforded you. You're not demanding God to do anything. You're demanding that this sickness leave in the name of Jesus. Amen. And again, in the scripture, of course, we're familiar with this. In Acts 3:6, it said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Well, he knew he had something. What did he have? He had some rights and privileges. And he knew that. And he said, but such as I have. So he knew he had something. He had what? He had the right to use the name of Jesus. And so what did he say? Such as I have, give I thee. So he had the right to use that and to say something, to give something. In the name of Jesus, of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he could demand in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, go into all the world. And he said, well, let's turn over there. Go over to Mark 16. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe, or you could say the believing ones. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name shall they take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In thy name shall they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that's all Peter was doing. In the name, rise up and walk. Be healed. Amen. He was following the Lord's command. Now, John, let's turn over to John 16. Let's go back there. Let's read this. John 16, verses 23 and 24. Says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask, there's that word ask again. who are you asking? The Father, in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So when something comes in your life that's not from God, what are you to do? Demand. Demand of the Father in the name of Jesus. You demand. What does it say? Whatever you ask, the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hallelujah. So tonight, I want to just focus, as I said, focus on healing for a little bit. And let's go back again to Mark 16. We were there. Have you go back again. And as we said, there's healing in the name of Jesus. And we know that because of this scripture verse right here. In Mark 16, and he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. How? In the name. They shall take up serpents. In the name. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And in the name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. It says shall. They shall recover. Hallelujah. So we can see here, now let's jump over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You know, there's something between knowing something in your head and in your heart. Because once something is in your heart, you will respond a different way than knowing something in your head. When you know something in your head, you may respond differently. You may respond in fear. You may respond to sensory things. But when you know something in your heart, those things that affect your mind and your flesh and your eyes, you respond a different way because you know. and you're what? Convinced of that which you believe. And so it's important to get these things down in your heart, because all of us are going to be confronted with things that look contrary, smell contrary. And people will tell you, can't happen. Impossible. Nothing we can do. But I know someone, and his name is Jesus, that said, nothing is impossible to me who believes. In the name of Jesus. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And I say it that way because unless God tells you otherwise, unless the Spirit of God reveals to you otherwise or other than what the Scripture says or something that you're standing upon, then you, as they say, dig in. And that was what I did for about a year. I was in extreme pain. And I stood for a year, sometimes leading praise and worship, coming down there with Pastor Clinton. I was holding on to this pulpit because if I didn't, I'd have hit the floor. And anybody who knows who sings, you put pressure on your diaphragm. Well, that's wasn't the place I was thinking about putting pressure at that point. And sometimes I couldn't sleep at night. I was awake most of the time. I'd doze off and wake up, always in excruciating pain. And I just said, God, I believe I'm healed. I don't care what it says. I don't care what it looks like. I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. Now, and the reason I stood that long and to that degree was because in times past, I have. And I have received what I've believed for. But in this particular situation, things weren't changing. So I just, I began to say, well, Lord, I'm missing something somewhere, something I don't know here. And I began to, even though I was, as they say, had my feet dug in and my mind made up, things weren't changing after a year, but it didn't faze me. I just said, well, I don't know. I'm missing something somewhere. And in that situation, the Holy Ghost spoke to me when I was on vacation with my family up in Vermont. When I came home, I was in the shower, and as I was showering, I heard the Holy Spirit very softly say, if you don't go see the doctor, you won't see the end of this year. And I was showering, and as I always say, I did. I was showering, and I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. I said, that's only 6 months. And I said, well, okay. And I didn't do anything. Because I said, well, I'm standing. And you may think, well, I wouldn't have. I'd have chased off to the doctor. Well, I just waited for about a week or so. And then finally, he didn't say anything. And I said, well, I knew that was the Holy Spirit. So I better go. And the net of it all was that, yes, it was something physical, but it was dietary. And so I'd have kept eating the same goofy way I had, and he'd have healed me, and that would have not solved anything. And so what did I have to do? I had to get some dietary advice. And I did. So a lot of times, as I said, there is healing in the name. And we're going to focus on that, but sometimes there are other factors that we don't know. And that's why I say, you stay on God's word unless the Holy Ghost tells you otherwise. Because otherwise, we're just running hither and hon, we're just running, responding to things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't go to the doctor, But the first thing I'm going to do is ask God what I should do. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Amen. So Acts 4, did you get there? I talked long enough. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I know you all know this, but all you Bible students, but it's good to hear it again. The word salvation is more than just talking about our eternal life. It's more than just salvation. If you look that word up in the Greek, it means deliverance, preservation, safety, and salvation. It means that. Now, the word whereby we must be saved, that particular word is to rescue from danger or destruction. It means to save a suffering one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. So neither is there salvation in other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be healed and delivered. So there's healing in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's safety in the name. Hallelujah. And it saves us from the evils that are in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Just want to look at this for a little bit. Isaiah chapter 53. I've had so many experiences where physical ailments are concerned in my body that I would say almost all of them, other than that one, that I had to have some nutritional adjustment. Every single one has come supernaturally. Every single one has come through meditating on the Word of God and confessing the Word of God. And I'm not saying, again, otherwise, but it's good that we meditate in the Word of God and confess His Word concerning this. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1, says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." And actually, if you look up those words in the Greek, or in this case it would be the Hebrew, sorrows is really translated pains, and grief is really translated sickness. So you could really say a man of pains and acquainted with sickness. And some of the other translations bear that out. "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs." And this word is sickness. "He bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows," or our pains. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." If you read this, let me read this in the Young's Literal Translation. This is verse 3. "He is despised and left of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness." That's why I say you can read some of these other translations, and it bears that out. This is the Leeser translation. It says, he was despised and shunned by men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease. The Young's literal translation, this is verse 4, says, surely our sicknesses he hath borne. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne. And our pains he hath carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is the Leeser, Isaac Leeser translation, verse 4. But only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. He carried them. He bore them. The complete Jewish Bible, in fact, this is verse 4, in fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered. Yet we regarded him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by God. Verse 5, he was wounded because of our crimes. See, that's why he was wounded. That's why he carried our sicknesses and diseases, because of our crimes. Crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him. And by his bruises we are healed. The Rotherham translation, yet surely our diseases he carried, and as for our pains, he bare the burden of them. But we accounted him stricken, smitten of God, and humbled. Yet he was pierced for transgressions that were ours, was crushed for iniquities that were ours. The chastisement for our well-being was upon him, and by his stripes there is healing for us. Now this is the Jewish Publication Society translation. Verse 4, surely our diseases he did bear, and our pains he carried. So it was our disobedience and rebellion that he was being punished for by God. That's why. This is Isaiah 53, and I'm jumping down to verse 10, where it says in the King James Version, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. The Young's literal translation, it says, and Jehovah hath delighted to bruise him, he hath made him sick. See, so anyone that tells you, well, you know, the Lord made you sick. No, he made Jesus sick so that I could be free. God, he was smitten of God for our transgressions. Leeser translation, it says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him through diseases. The Rotherham, yet Yahweh purposed to bruise him. He laid on him sickness. Hallelujah. So we can see the gospel is substitution. Redemption is exchange, and we're not going to hell because he did. We don't have to pay for our sins because he did, and we don't have to be sick because he was made sick with our sicknesses. He took it. I don't have to take sickness. He took it. So when sickness comes on your body, you need to get right up and say, I don't have to take this sickness because Jesus took this sickness. And you may not feel any better, but you keep saying, I don't have to take this sickness. I demand in the name of Jesus that it leave. And it has to respond. Does it have to respond instantly? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. There's things that all of us stand against, but that doesn't mean you give up in a day or an hour or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 months. You keep at it until it goes in the name of Jesus, because he took my sickness so I don't have to. And I refuse to. I do. I refuse to take sickness. And if it comes on my body, I tell it so. You have to go in the name of Jesus. I'm not taking this. I'm not going to carry the load of it. Jesus did. And it's in that name. All power. What does that say in Romans 1, verse 16? What does it say? I'll read it for you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of... I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. So we could say this, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus, for it is the power for my healing. I'm not ashamed of some habit, it is the power to deliver me from that. Right? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was made sick so I don't have to. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Are you, did you leave? Did you go, you're still in Isaiah 53? Okay. Let's look at look at verse 7. I'm going to read it from the King James. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. This is significant here to me. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He opened not his mouth because he bore it for us, but we are to open our mouth. We are to open our mouths regarding what he did for me. We are not to keep our mouths closed and silent. He did, but not me. We're going to open our mouths and declare what thus he did for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verse 17. I'll tell you, I've been doing this for about 2 or 3 months now. In the morning and at night, I play it all night long. I've been doing this for about 3 or 4 months now. All night I play it, and actually, more often I keep it running in the house all day long. I keep, Dr. Hutton had a healing CD. I play it in the house. It's on all the time. Now, I shut it off before I left, but most times I keep it running in the house all the time. Keep the speakers on, active, and I run it in the house. And when I come home at night, it's on. And I keep it on even while I'm sleeping. Keep it very low, but I keep it. So if I wake up, I never know. There's sometimes I just wake up and I hear a scripture and just, ooh, it goes off. And it's feeding my spirit. So it's not to the place where it disrupts my sleep, but I keep it running all the time. And I'll tell you, it helps. And there's another one I play when I'm getting ready in the morning. I play that. If I'm in another room, I've got some, you know, you can buy them. They're very inexpensive wireless speakers. I just have them in the house. And they're not expensive. You just plug something in, a CD player or, you know, an iPod or iPad or whatever, and you just play it. Now, if I'm in a room where I don't have a speaker, I just carry another little speaker or something in there, and I got something playing. and I'm playing either something with healing, and then he's also, this isn't a promotion for him, but I'm just telling you, it's good if you get it. He had one on healing, and he had one on prosperity. And he just plays prosperity scriptures. Get that in your spirit. Play it all the time. Feed upon it. Because you're never going to know when something's going to come in your life that you need to rise up and say, no! And you begin to confess what thus saith the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, it won't come from your head. Because it'll happen so quick, you won't remember it, but it'll come up out of your spirit where it is. Hallelujah. I had that happen to me. I told you, my sister's husband got up in my face. Well, he wasn't a husband at the time. And he pounded his chest and said, the devil lives in here. And it happened so quick, you couldn't think that fast. You couldn't blink that fast. And he was right here, beating his chest. And I'm telling you, it felt like a coat, just like a coat came down on me. Like you take a coat and put it on, it just went, and up out of here, just that quick, came right up out of my mouth. I said, I'm not afraid of demons or devils, and I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Just that quick, came right up and out. And he turned turned and hide-tailed it. That was the sword of the Spirit. And that's how we're going to live in these last days. You can't live out of your head. It's going to be out of your spirit. And you won't have time to think. That's why when Jesus said, don't think what you're going to answer. He will give you what to answer. The Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. And it'll be a sword. Amen. That's why I say when people give you bad news, don't respond to it. Just don't. If the doctor gives you bad news, you say, thank you very much, you're just doing your job. Then go ask God what you're supposed to do. Don't respond to that kind of stuff. In fear, that's what I mean. Matthew 8 and verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The New Living Translation says, this fulfilled word of the Lord, I like that, this fulfilled word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. He took them and removed them. Why am I taking them? No, sir, I'm not going to do it. He took them. He went to hell and took them. And when he rose from the dead, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, he which was dead is alive forevermore. So he took those sicknesses and removed our diseases. The Goodspeed says, in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Isaiah, he took our sickness and carried away our disease. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. It's just as easy to be healed as it is to be forgiven of your sins. Just as easy. Sickness comes from the same source as sin comes from. It doesn't come from heaven. Glory to God. I'm going to, if you indulge me here, I was reading this. That's why I say, get this book. It'll bless you real good. You know what they say? It'll bless you real good in your spirit. This is the E.W. Kenyon book. But he highlights some things here. some revelation that I believe is important. I'm just going to highlight it here. I'm going to read from it. It says, when he gave us the right to use his name to heal the sick, it was simply that we might bring on the scene, by the use of that name, the fullness of the finished work. So when you use the name, you're bringing on the scene the fullness, say the fullness of the finished work. Whew. That's why I say sometimes when you read his books, you have to just stop and say, let me just meditate upon that sentence a little bit before I go any further. That's how I feel about his books. And that the afflicted one might know that in the use of that name, the living, healing Christ was present. It is not trying to believe. It is not trying to take healing. Believing becomes unnecessary in the modern sense of that term. That healing is ours. That name makes it available to us. That name is ours, and in that name is all help, all victory, all power, all health. Do not try, do not struggle, just use it. Use the name. All power is in that name. Hallelujah. Use that name with the same freedom that you use your checkbook. The money is on deposit. You write the check without exercising any special faith. That is, you are not conscious of exercising it. You do, though. And in the use of Jesus' name, you do exercise faith. It is the unconscious faith, the faith that is born in upon us by evidences that convince us beyond the shadow of a doubt. Any other kind of faith is abnormal. Listen, at the second coming of Christ, it will not require any act of faith on our part to be translated. Neither will it require any effort to receive immortality. We shall simply be immortal. We shall be translated. That is in the plan, in the eternal program of God. It will not require any special faith to be resurrected. The resurrection is in the program. The name is in the program. And everything that he won for us, all we have to do is just take it. I receive healing in my body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's in the program. There's no special faith needed to receive. Hallelujah. He said, now if we understand his program for today, the sick simply be healed, the sick would simply be healed the moment that sickness touched them. Now some of us are getting to that place. But this says here, if we understood his program for today, the sick would simply be healed the moment that sickness touched him. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. That's the purpose of the indwelling presence of God. One of them. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken or heal your mortal bodies by what? His Spirit that what? Dwelleth in you. He's quickening us just by the mere fact that he dwells in us. Hallelujah. And it does what? It quickens, heals, gives life to what? These mortal bodies. Hallelujah. This does not have reference to our resurrection. It refers to our bodies. Now mortal means death doomed. Our bodies will not be mortal in the grave. Neither will the spirit be in them then. This is part of the program. The spirit dwells in us for that purpose. To quicken what? Our mortal bodies. So that means we can go through this life without sickness and disease, and as they say, be tired out and just lay down and give up the ghost. We can. I like the words to that song that we were singing, the last song in praise and worship. The writer said, "Give me vision that I may see like you see, Lord, and give me wisdom to know just what to do." See, we need to have vision to see what God sees and then have wisdom to know what to do. Because some of us, and I include myself, you know how we do? I have a taste for this today. Sometimes you need to get that taste out of your mouth because maybe it isn't good for you. But see, we need wisdom to know just what to do. Whether to see a doctor or not see a doctor. What to eat and what not to eat. Because I'm convinced that even some of the things that science and research is finding about this physical body regarding what we eat and what we don't eat is not foolery. And I believe that as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, I believe there's things that are going to be unfolded in just the natural sciences that will help us. But it's been there all the time. All you got to do is ask. He'll tell you, don't eat that anymore. You've heard Brother Hagin say it. He likes soda, and the Lord told him, or it was tea or whatever it was, told him, don't drink that anymore. No, it was soda pop. It was coffee. He did say that. But I'm referring to a time when he was young. He said every time he went into town, he said, I got to have me a pop. I got to have me a soda pop. And he said it began to have control over him. And he said, nothing's going to have control over my appetite. And he said, no, I choose not to eat that. Just because I'm not going to let that control me, the desire to have something. And sometimes I've done that. Not all the time. I'm getting better at that. But there's times I just said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to have that. Just because. Do I want it? You better believe it. I do want it. But I'm not going to have it just because that then says my flesh has control over my habits. No. And sometimes we need to just say, just because we have a taste for something, sometimes we ought to just say, no, I'm not doing it. Because that otherwise you give in to your flesh. You give in to appetites. Amen. Glory to God. It says here, it says that is not the only purpose, but that is one of the reasons of his indwelling, to heal our physical bodies of the diseases that are continually attaching themselves to us. So he said it's one of the reasons. When we understand this, we shall not be trying to exercise faith for our healing, or for any other need, we shall simply recognize the fact that this healing, this need is in the program, is a part of it. We shall accept what belongs to us. Hallelujah. And he goes on. I'm not gonna take the time to read it. I believe that you ought to just get it and feed upon it. Let me just read this, though. I will say this. Because it's all good. This is another section he wrote here. He said, when he imposes diseases upon me, I have a right to say to him, Satan, those diseases were born in the body of Jesus, and you have no right to bring their photograph around here and frighten me with them. Those diseases were unconditionally put away. This is what we're to say. They were unconditionally put away, and I am free from disease as the body of Jesus was when he rose from the dead. He spoiled principalities. He was free from disease at that point and sin. For I am in Christ Jesus, and you cannot put those things on me. And if Satan should attack my body, all I have to do is call my Father's attention to the fact, and the disease must go because I am free. I know that by his stripes I am healed. I know that by his resurrection I am justified, and I do not need to be re-justified. I am justified. I know that by his life I am made alive, and I am alive. I know that I died with him. I know that I rose with him. And I know that I am in him. Hallelujah. I know that by his stripes I am healed. Then I am healed, and if I am healed, I am well. Thank God. I have no more to do with my healing than I have to do with my resurrection. Think about that. For he is my resurrection. He is my healing. Hallelujah. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is my resurrection. He is my life. He is my healing. He is my health. He is my victory. He is my all in all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is my strength and my health. He is my victory over sin and sickness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at one last scripture here in Ephesians chapter 2. I encourage you to get this book. I've had them for years, and I read them periodically, and it's just good food to feed on. It'll bless your spirit. And he has many, many books that you can read. He has one on healing. He has one on the name of Jesus. He's got so many. Chapter 2, Ephesians, and starting in verse 1. In this good news, and you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even, listen to verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he did what? Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So we died to sin in Christ. We were quickened with him. We also died to our diseases. We arose in the fullness of what? His life. Hallelujah. We are redeemed from sickness. And his life in us quickens our mortal bodies. We need to when things come in our body, and they will come, we need to not talk about it as much as we do. We need to say what he says. I believe there's a scripture verse, if I'm not mistaken. I'll read this to you. It just came to my mind here. Philemon. Verse 6, it says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we need to communicate. We need to say what the Word says. Amen. Don't give up so easily. Don't fold your cards, so to speak. Well, that's true. Don't give up at all, but I'm just saying don't give up so easily. Folks, sometimes they go a week and they say things ain't changing, so I guess it's not working. The only thing that's not working is your mouth. That's, as they say, 1 inch below your nose. Stick with it. Think about it. The word is forever settled in heaven. That means your covenant of healing is forever settled. Didn't mean that you're not going to go through some things. But you remind the devil that he's defeated. He's been stripped. You remind him that sickness has been paid for. Amen. Glory to God. At some point, and I say at some point, probably going to be sooner rather than later, we're going to reinstitute or start running during the week some healing classes just so that we can focus more on that. And, we'll announce when those will start. But we've been talking about it and we just haven't activated it. But we are, and it's important, and I believe the same thing. Ed Cole said something which I believe is true. He said there's three areas that plague. He talked about men, but there's three areas that plague people the most. He said communication, sex, and money. And so, what we say is important, and also the health of people and money. And those areas the devil fights the hardest. Because when you think about it, if he can keep people sick and broke, it hinders the progress in the body of Christ. But we're not going to have it. We're going to walk healthy and we're going to walk blessed and prosperous. And I'll say this, because it dawned on me, after I made a misstep, I had been confessing, still do, but at that time I was confessing prosperity scriptures. And you've heard me share this story. Just out, I was home one day, quiet, and I heard, buy Apple stock. And I didn't. Well, at the time he told me, it helps me share it. I'll just say it. May not help you, but it helps me. Because it helps me. When he told me Apple stock at that time was 70. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the response. And I didn't buy it. And I watched it go up and up and up and up and up and up. And I believe it's over 600. I don't know if anybody's following. I haven't looked lately. But I had a good amount of money. I could have just bought a whole lot of Apple stock. So, anyways, lesson learned. Listen to the Holy Ghost. See, that was just stock. But I listened concerning my health because I'd have been dead. If I hadn't gone to the doctor, I would be dead. Because after all that was said and done, I went to this particular chiropractor and he did some things and had me eat a certain diet for a few weeks. And after about 6 months, I said, "Hey, doc, how bad was it?" He said, "If you'd gone one more week, they'd have opened you up." And I knew when he said that, if they had opened me up, that was it. That would have been it. It would have been a slippery slope to death. So I didn't have a lot of time to make a choice. Said, if you'd waited one more week. And I was feeling some things that weren't right. See? But it can be that. It can be your health. It could be money. And sometimes the Holy Ghost, he'll speak so softly. So softly, you'll go, "Was that the Holy Ghost or not?" And so I, when it comes to Apple stock, you know, it helps me to share it. It helps me. But I'm alive, so I can buy more stock. See, I can do that. I have money, I can go buy stock. But you can't do that when you're in the, when you're in heaven. And then it don't matter, you see. So I'm not going to make that mistake, and I haven't, and he has led me to do some things in that area where investment is concerned, and I thank God. So anyways, praise God. But the name of Jesus is above every name, in heaven and earth and under the earth. Glory to God. Bless God. Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for meditating on the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you that that name provides all that we need. And we thank you that your all power is in that wonderful name. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for your word that reminds us. And as we feed upon your word, we thank you that revelation will come, and a greater revelation will come in walking in the name. And we thank you for it and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.